What we are singing about there.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I want to see him.
Amen.
I asked Brother George to sing that song just in case you might think, oh my. I asked him because I was going to speak something about that this morning. So may the Lord bless you. It's very, very encouraging to see that almost everybody who's supposed to come this morning is here. So when good things happen, we must commend them. May God bless you. I'm sure that the Lord will reward our efforts to bring some order into his house. So I would like to invite you this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 5. We will read just a few verses there, but we want to concentrate on one verse, Matthew chapter 5. And while you are turning to that, I would like to thank Brother Maxwell for the Friday prayer meeting. It was really a wonderful time. Thank you, Lord. Thanksgiving for the things that the Lord has done for us. Because the Bible says, in all things, give thanks. Amen. So we come to his house once more this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts. So it says in the book of Matthew chapter 5 from verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for the opportunity to be in your house once again together with your children. What a privilege it is, Lord, that we are able in this day to open the scriptures, to look into them, Lord, and to hear what you want to speak to us. For we realize the days are coming, Lord, when this would become a crime. And so we want to enjoy it, Lord, while it is still here. Bless us now, Father, in this day. In all that will be done and said during this service, we commit it into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated, saints. Since I reach 40, whenever it gets a little bit cold, I get a bit of air, my throat gets it, you know. And they say life begins at 40, I wonder. So we just read in the Bible there a few verses in the book of Matthew chapter 5, a number of beatitudes that Jesus was teaching to the people on the mount. This is a place that I love very much in the Bible. Many, many times I go to it. And there's just so much in the beatitudes that if you ever sit down and really consider what the Lord was teaching to the people at that time, it may amaze you, because many times we use this just for Sunday school for children, you know. and we speak to them, blessed are the peacemakers, because they are fighting at home, you know. So, but when you begin to go under the hood, it's amazing the things that are contained in the Beatitudes. And I would like to look at one of them this morning. And I am praying that as we go through this chapter here, this verse here, I don't think it would take us just one Sunday. Today we'll just lay a background on it. But as we go in it, I'm praying that you will begin to see God in your life. Because if you don't see God in the things that are happening around you, you are a very miserable person if you confess to be a Christian. If people come here on a Friday night and they begin to pray and thank God and raise their hands and, oh my, what a joyful week we had, you know. Our brother went through the operation and he was home in 2 days, and you're like, what are people excited about? You know? People go for operations and go home. You are in a very bad condition, because other people are looking and they are seeing God in what is happening in the life of our brother Pele and in many other things that are happening around us, that the prime minister of the country could stand up and give a speech, you know, like he did on Friday about 6 p.m. when we were coming to church. I put it on to listen. And it was, I almost was a bit emotional, you know, when I thought of the magnitude of it, that he could make an announcement that we are removing all these restrictions. And I'm thinking, 2 years ago when this thing started, the number of people that we had in the church are still, everybody that was there is still there. Yeah. Nobody got so sick that they needed to go to hospital or a ventilator or ICU or anything. In fact, we've got even more people, you know, people that had health conditions at that time, those health conditions are gone, you know. And I thought about the magnitude of that, and I was so emotional when the prime minister then said, we want to thank God for bringing us through this. And I said, if people, now he's a Christian man, and we thank God for that, and if he could look and see that God has brought us through this pandemic as a country, what more you and me who have broken beyond the veil and we can see God directly, what more you and me, how much more grateful we ought to be when we see what God has done to bring you and me through this pandemic to this stage. There's people sitting in here that don't know anybody that got sick with COVID. They don't know anyone in their families who died of COVID. Isn't God, hasn't he done great things for us? So I want to come with thanksgiving again to thank God. But when people look at all those things and they don't see God in that, they're like, what are these people excited about, you know? It's my prayer that over these next few Sunday school lessons, that you will also see the reason why you can't see God. And so that you can do something about it. And so that you can see God when he begins to do things in your life and in the lives of other people. So Jesus here, we just read in Matthew chapter 5 as he took all these beatitudes. And we came to the one beatitude in verse 8. And he says that, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, that may seem like, oh my, but the Bible says in the book of Exodus, no man shall see God and live. So what's going on here? But we will unravel that as we go along over the next few Sunday school lessons. But for this morning, as we build a background to this, I would like to just bring one thing before you this morning, so that we don't say a lot of things and then maybe it confuses you. The one thing that I would like to bring before you as we begin to look at this verse is that people have a desire to see God. Amen. Everybody has a desire to see God. Amen. Some people realize that desire more than others, you know, but some people completely refuse that they have a desire to see God. But it manifests in every one of us in a certain way. You know, in the message, the unveiling of God, which is a wonderful message where I got the inspiration for this from, the prophet speaks about the idol worshippers, you know, that they have a desire to see God. They so much want to see him. They go to do things about it, you know. They take some tree, they shape it in a certain way, and they make an idol according to their imagination, put it in a nice place in the house, and they begin to prostrate themselves before it. And, you know, they imagine that their God has come into that image, and that's the image of God, and because they want to see God, amen, you know. And when they get in trouble, wherever they are, you know, they can't wait to get home, so that they can go before this their God and tell him all their problems, you know, and ask him questions. Why has this happened? It's a desire that's in us. And they express it in that way. It manifests to them in that way because many times they don't know any better. They were taught that by their parents, their grandparents before them did that, and nobody ever told them the truth. But they have this desire, and it manifests in them in that way. It isn't only the idol worshippers. Even the people in the scientific world today, they are seized by this desire to find what they call the God particle. You know, they have spent billions and billions of money pouring into these projects to find what they call the God particle. And when you go to look into it, what is this God particle they talk about? They want to find this particle that began this whole thing. Now, we know what began this whole thing. But they don't want to admit that they are looking for God. They are looking for a God particle that began this Big Bang and ordered all these things and put creation into the way that it is. The reason they do that, when they find that God particle, what do you think they want to do with it, you know? If they find it, let's say they find it, what's the purpose of finding it and then have, or say, oh, so that's what it is, and then go home? No, they have a desire to find it. When they find it, they've got questions they want answered. They want to find out, why were we created? For what purpose are we here? And we know the answer to that. But they don't want to admit that it's a desire to find God, but it manifests in them in that way. Astronauts do it a different way. You know, they go to the moon, they go to other planets, they are constantly, I mean, there's so many planets that have been discovered so far. They keep wanting to discover more and more. We can't even number all the ones that we have discovered now, but they keep making more machines and more expensive things to send out there into the space to look for something. They are looking for something, and I can tell you what they are looking for. They are looking for another planet where they can live. A planet where they can have a new beginning. A planet where they can, there's no wars and hurricanes coming and all these earth slides happening and volcanoes and hunger and sickness. They are looking for a place where there is peace, a place where they can go and have a new start and do things right and maybe not mind things too much, but it's a desire to find the place where God is. They don't want to admit it that way. They are just looking at it scientifically, but we know there's a place like that. And we are going to a place like that. But they want to look for it in the guise of science. You know, we are astronauts. We are not like those nuts over there, you know. But it's a desire to find God. I wonder what would they do if they ever find a place like that. You know, they would do the best that they can to bring everybody there. They will come here on earth and say, we have found a planet and we want to bring everybody. It's a good planet. The atmosphere is just right. It's not too hot. There's only one season. They will do everything they can and spend everything they have to bring you and me to that new planet. We know such a place, but we don't do anything about it to bring everybody there. You know, we just sit and say, ah, let them perish with their sins, you know. That's not right, but I thank God that we have people that are burdened in such a way. They know we are going to a real place where we are going to see God, and they are doing everything that they can to to bring everybody there. Now, that's looking at the side of unbelievers. They have a desire to see God, and they express it in a certain way. Ourselves also, on the side of believers, we have this desire to see God. Unless you are a hypocrite and you sing this song without thinking what it means, without thinking, I'm singing, oh, I want to see God. What does that mean? I mean, if God was to walk in here today, would I really want to see him? You know, but that's our desire. We express it many times in song. We sing about it. And many times when we hit the valleys, you know, and things are just so much, and oh my, we go to pray and we begin to ask God and say, Lord, show me your glory. Say something to me, Lord. I'm so discouraged. I'm disappointed. I don't know what to do, Lord. If I could only hear from you, Father. We do that. Why? We express that desire in different magnitudes, in different people, because we want to see God. There's a desire in us that wants to see God. Job expressed it more directly. If you taking some verses, you go and read in Job chapter 23, verse 1 to 3. And we know the troubles that Job went through. It was no easy. It is not easy for any man to go through what Job went through. Many people today, because their mind is now so weak, they'll jump on a building and jump off and kill themselves. Imagine losing all your family in one day. Losing all your riches, losing everything you have ever worked for. My, and then your friends come, they try to comfort you and encourage you as a brother. But for Job, it was too much. It needed God himself. No wonder when it came to chapter 23, he says, oh, that I may find where he dwells. Job wanted to find the place where God dwells. He says, if I could find that place, I would come to him and plead my cause. We all hit those times, brother. When things are going wrong in every area of your life, you want to find God. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, brother Eli wouldn't be enough, you know. Or brother David is not enough, you know. You know, even brother Max or the pastor, you know, you want to hear from God yourself, you know, because sometimes, you know, it's just too much. You can't bear it, and you want to hear from God. And Job was at that press, and he said, oh, that I may know where I might find him. I would go and knock on his door. That's what he wanted to do. If you have such trouble many times, you want to go and talk to someone about it. So that's how Job, he expressed this desire to see God. It became more magnified in him because of the trials that he was going through. And it's very important to go into the presence of God, you know, because when you enter into the presence of God, something happens. And I want you to catch this one here because it's important. When you enter into a presence, let's say today you are having trouble with your car. And then you come to church and we are talking and you meet Brother Wilmore after church. You are not going to ask me anything about your car because I'm not a mechanic. That question won't even come up. But the moment you get into the presence of Brother David, because he's a mechanic, you might even have forgotten that there's a light that came on your car. The moment you start to talk about to Brother David and something clicks in you that he's a mechanic or maybe he mentions it, the next thing that question comes up because you are in the right presence. That's exactly what happens with us, that sometimes there are things in our lives that can hold you back if you are not careful. A question or some disappointment or some injustice that happened to you long time ago, and nobody has ever been able to really give you the answer. You may bury it down in your subconscious, but the moment you enter into the right presence, that question comes up. The moment you enter into God's presence, that's why it's so important to get into God's presence. It's so important to see God because the moment you are into his presence, the question comes up. Lord, I have this. I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand why I was treated that way. And God can say a few words and dissolve that question. And then you're on your road to serve him well. If you remember, there was this little boy. Brother Branham speaks about him. Or maybe before we speak about that little boy, if you go in the Bible to the book of John chapter 11 and read the story of Lazarus, how he died. And Mary and Martha had trusted in the Lord. And they had called for him and they had been excommunicated from church. And Lazarus eventually died and they buried him. It wasn't an easy experience for the two sisters. There was something in their hearts eating at them about their brother going. Then the next thing they told Martha, Jesus has come. My, the moment she was told that, she ran because she wanted to say something to him. All the people around their house, she couldn't say it to them. They were not the right presence. But the moment she heard Jesus has come, she ran and went into his presence and said, Master, if you had been here. Amen. She couldn't even say that to her own sister, that if Jesus had been here. It was a question for Jesus. Amen. Because he's the right man who can give the answer. Amen. And Master, if you had been here. Then he spoke to her, and then she ran back. She calls Mary. Mary comes, Master, if you had been here. And it so moved Jesus when he saw the anguish that he wept. And then he went to do something about it. Now, in this example that I wanted to give, of this little boy that Brother Branham speaks in the message, in a few times he mentions this little boy, who went and asked his mother, and he said, Mother, can anyone see God? Why would a little boy ask a thing like that, Sister Liana? When Joseph thinks about it, or Joshua, and he comes and says, Mommy, can anyone see God? And mother said, I don't know. Why don't you go ask the Sunday school teacher? You know? And now they didn't have a Sunday school teacher like our Sunday school teachers here. But the little boy went and asked the Sunday school teacher, can anyone see God? You see, this boy could have just asked mother. Mother would have said, I don't know. Ask your Sunday school teacher. And he would never have asked Sunday school teacher if that desire was not real in him. But the desire was real in him that he actually took the step and went and asked the Sunday school teacher, can anyone see God? And the Sunday school teacher said, I don't know. Go and ask the pastor. My, and this little boy went and asked the pastor. He had to wait because the pastor is a very busy man. You know, you can hardly get the pastor after church because he has to deal with a lot of people and take a lot of questions. And he went, this little boy, and said, Pastor, can any man see God? Can any man see God? And the pastor answered, and he said, no man can see God and live. He was quoting scripture. What a disappointing thing for the little boy. It must have disappointed him because he had a desire to see God. Just like you and me. He had such a desire to see God. It was real in him. And this boy must have somehow known something about the deep calling unto the deep. Because his desire was real and he kept going and going. And the pastor says, no man can see God and live. He was quoting scripture. The scripture is in Exodus chapter 23, I think, where Moses wanted to see God. Can you imagine? Moses had brought the children of Israel out into the wilderness where God had told him. And Moses was talking to God. And Moses said, show me your glory. Can you imagine if you take it into the context? Moses had spoken with God at the burning bush. Moses had gone with God to Egypt. Moses had seen all the plagues that fell upon Egypt. At the word of the Lord would tell him, speak flies. He goes and he speaks them, and flies came. Moses had seen God bring Pharaoh to his knees. Moses saw God open the Red Sea like this, a thing that had never happened. Moses saw God bring water out of a rock. Yet every one of those experiences wasn't enough for Moses. He said, if I could only see your glory. Now, the more he wanted to see God, the more God revealed himself to him. So you may have seen experiences in your life, but if you have that desire to see God, there is more of God to reveal himself to you. It never stops. The more you desire to see him, the more you will see him in your life. So it's not only for people that are beginning their Christian walk like Kamel today, but it is for everyone. It never stops. We can never exhaust God. The more you desire of him, the more he reveals himself to you. So today, don't come to church and say, I've heard it all. I've heard it all. What else can the pastor preach today? I'm telling you, brother, sister, if you come with that expectation that you had on the day you were baptized, you will see God in greater measure today as Moses did. Amen. And God spoke to Moses and said, no man can see me and live. I'll show you my backside, Moses. And Moses saw the backside of God. And he said it looked like a man. It satisfied Moses. You know, there was just something about that. But this little boy was told, no man can see God and live, by the pastor. Oh my. Must have been very disappointing. But that desire never left him. It was still in his heart. He wanted to see God. I think he may have seen many other people in between, and that question might never have come up because it was the wrong presence. But then one day, he got in a boat with a man, an elderly man, and they went down the river, and then there was a storm come. After the storm, the rainbow came. That elderly man looked at that rainbow and he remembered the promises of God to Job, to Noah. My, and the man began to weep. He was weeping just looking at the rainbow. How many times do you look at the rainbow and even think about the promises of God? But this man could look and think of the promises of God and weep. Because it was real to him. And this boy now, when he seen this man weeping at the rainbow, something happened to him. The prophet says he ran from the stern of the boat right to the bow where this man was sitting. And he said, good sir, I have a question that I asked my mother. She couldn't answer me. I asked the Sunday school teacher. She couldn't answer me. I asked the pastor. He couldn't answer me. Can any man see God? You see what happened to this boy? There was a presence in that boat. And he sensed this is the right atmosphere. This is the right man to ask this question. And the man was so wonderful. He took the little boy in his arms and he said, son, all I have seen for the past 35 years has been God. Amen. How can this man see God when other people could look at the same thing and not see God? Amen. May the Lord bless you. We will look next week from God's perspective and see that God wants people to see him. So what hinders? If we have a desire to see God and God wants us to see him, why is it that we seldom see God in our experiences? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for bringing us into your house this morning. Lord, we ask now, Father, as we enter into song worship, help us, O God, to break through the barriers, Lord, of the veils that we have put on our faces. Lord, the barriers of tradition, Lord, the barriers of disappointments, the barriers of unmet expectations, Lord. Father, that we may break through every one of them and see God on full display this morning. Be merciful, Lord, and bless our song leaders, Lord, and all the musicians, Lord. Father, help them break through the barriers of human ability, Lord, to a place where they can be used by the Almighty God to bring the presence of worship in this place, Lord. Father, we desire that presence today as we hear the preaching of the word. We commit our pastor to you, Lord. Use him mightily this morning, Lord, to break through the barriers of human ears, Lord. Father, human traditions, and help us, Father, to that presence where we can see God on full display. We commit, Lord, all our viewers from home tonight to you, Lord. Bless them in each and every house, Lord, that the same presence that will be created in this place may also be generated in their houses, Lord. Amen. We commit them into your hands. Bless this service. We ask this blessing in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.